It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. All those clicks, likes, and retweets you do on social media add up to a huge amount of data that can be worth millions to companies. But according to new research, actually using that data is easier said than done. Joining us by phone to talk about social media and big data is Derek Ruths, Assistant Professor of Computer Science at McGill University in Montreal. Professor Ruths, thank you for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Can you describe what kind of data is created through social media use?
Social media primarily refers to the kind of data that's generated by users rather than designated reporters or journalists through the use of various online platforms. And so it can include things ranging from Facebook and Twitter, to which you alluded, the likes and tweets, but it can also include other platforms like Reddit and Digg, where people are upvoting or downvoting news stories or commenting on threads. So it really encompasses a wide range of data sources that people generate online.
And so even though there's a lot of information in this data, there's still a lot that's missing, right? I mean, what does the data not include?
Well, I think to appreciate what's missing, it's important to keep in mind what the purpose of the data is. And so, you know, when we conduct, when academia or an industry tries to actually mine this data for information, we're usually trying to pull insights out of it about human behavior, about the composition of populations. But fundamentally, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit data, all of this data is oriented around providing a service to people. And so on Facebook, people are interacting with one another. On Twitter, people are reporting events and thoughts of interest. On Reddit, people are commenting in a very unstructured way on news stories. And so what's missing is often the very thing that we're trying to measure. And we're trying to often use sort of subtle signatures of the things that we're interested in, for instance, political orientation or geographic location or interests. People aren't reporting these explicitly, but we're trying to use subtle signatures that are present in the data in order to actually make these inferences.
And is that based on what people are Googling or, you know, what they're searching for, that kind of thing?
It could be a combination of things. So social media typically doesn't refer to Google searches, although for our purposes, I think that you could certainly include it in the set of data that we were critiquing in our recent paper. Whenever you're going to pick up data off of the web, off of the internet, and you're going to use it to study it for a purpose that it was not intended, you're always going to have this real challenge with trying to extract information that wasn't intentionally put in there.
And in the paper you co-authored, you explained that different social media platforms have different user demographics. Explain that.
Well, fundamentally, different people adopt different platforms. So Facebook, for example, originated as a platform for college students, but those college students have since grown up, and now the age demographic of Facebook is getting older and older. And then you have other platforms like Pinterest. Pinterest is a classic example, actually. It's dominated by, if you look at its user profile, it is dominated by effectively rich women. And that's not to say that that's all users, but certainly you see a disproportionate number of women coming from high-income households producing content on there. And so if you want to be studying, if you want a study to actually say something about human nature in general or the behavior of a population, you need to account for these different biases in the population that you're looking at.
And apart from the demographic issues, what other problems are there when it comes to using social media data to predict people's behavior?
Well, perhaps one of the more unappreciated challenges, but one of the most serious challenges, is the issue of what we call in the paper proxy populations. And so what happens is you're interested in coming in and saying, well, I'd be interested in knowing what the best-selling product in Pittsburgh is going to be for Christmas, for the holiday season. And that seems like a fairly simple question, one that you could presumably answer using social media. The only problem is that in order to actually answer that, you need to go in and look at the content that's generated only by people in Pittsburgh. And, of course, that's not a guaranteed thing that you can do in social media, because people don't necessarily report their locations. And so we have to construct these populations where we think they have the attribute that we're interested in. We think they're from Pittsburgh, or we think that they belong to the age demographic. And by constructing these proxy populations, our estimates off of those populations, those social media users, are only as accurate then as the combination of our methods for extracting what they want for the holidays, but also whether we got our proxy population built right. Those users have to represent Pittsburgh.
We're talking with Derek Ruths, Assistant Professor of Computer Science at McGill University in Montreal here on Essential Pittsburgh. And according to new research, using data, collecting the data from clicks, likes, retweets, all the things that happen on social media is more difficult to parse through than you may think. And so what are the possible solutions to these data use problems? What should companies or data analysts be doing to use social media data more effectively?
Well, I think that it's a really multidimensional problem. I think to begin with, it's important to recognize that the kind of work that happens where we're mining social media data, it remains a research question. That's part of the reason that a lot of the work happens in academia. And so one of the things we need to do is just be cognizant of the fact and be careful of drawing too many conclusions from social media data without really understanding the phenomenon. There are a number of fairly low-hanging fruit things that can be done. I mean, there's been very well-established methods for handling bias and from statistics and in sociology and populations and surveys that really could be listed and then applied within this domain. And it's just not something we've seen a lot of in the discipline to date. But I think that part of the point of this paper was to really call on researchers and industry practitioners to really look and leverage from these other disciplines the kind of tools that could improve their estimates and their measures.
And can you give us an example of a signature that you're looking for in this data?
Sure. Well, so for example, you know, as I alluded to earlier, you know, one question that a lot of companies would like to know is whether or not we can actually predict or measure purchasing behavior from social media data. And people talk about new things that they're getting and things they want for their birthday and things they want for Christmas or for various holidays all the time. And so one of the questions would be, can we actually take these sort of wishes and expressions of either wanting or receiving and turn those into forecasts for the market? And so that would, you know, that's a very concrete one that companies are deeply interested in.
And a lot of times this discussion about data is about companies, as you say, you know, using it for marketing and so on. But is using data from social media something that can also benefit average users?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we can think of that in a couple of different respects, and I appreciate you bringing that up. So, I mean, from one perspective, there's certainly the question of better governance, more responsible governance, these kinds of questions. We talk about smart cities. We talk about giving decision makers at municipal levels and at higher governmental levels the kind of information they need. Social media could quite meaningfully provide important information to these decision makers. So social media definitely has a tremendous amount to offer in terms of social good.
Derek Ruths is Assistant Professor of Computer Science at McGill University in Montreal. Professor Ruths, thank you so much for joining us today on Essential Pittsburgh.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Coming up, contributor Rebecca Harris looks at food banks in the region. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.